When people write books and articles about women in the Bible, they tend to fall into one of three general camps. The first is the Bible is perfect and wonderful to women all the time. I don't do a lot of agreeing with that camp. The next is that the Bible is awful to women all the time. Women are subordinate. Women have no access to agency and power. And thank God we've come so far. Once in a while, not usually where I find myself. But there's a third that says the Bible is not so great to women, but it's better than everything, all of its contemporaries. It was progressive enough for the age. It was moving in the direction for more women. And on the subject, Rachel Adler, who's a professor at HUC, in her book, Engendering the Bible, which talks about gender in the Bible, one of the things she says is, trying to decide which camp to be in, is that it is always possible to have a moment of clarity, of thought, of discovery, which allows you to push past the conventions, the norms, the status quo of the day. That's in fact how all progress always happens. So while it is tempting to say, well, our Bible is better than everyone else, we shouldn't give up on the Bible being perfect. It's our Bible after all. And I think for 11 verses this week, the Bible comes pretty darn close for women. Certainly for women in the ancient world, but it's a pretty giant step forward. We have five daughters of a guy named Tzolofechad. Don't ask me to say that again. They're named. First of all, almost no one gets a name in the Bible, and very few women. And each of these five daughters are named. I'm going to try and get them all. Holga, Milcha, Tirza, Milcha, and Machia. No. I'll get the last one in a minute. I wrote it down over there. All five of these women are named, and there's no reason to name them. The story would read perfectly if they were called the five daughters of Tzolofechad. There's no reason to name them except that we say these are each people. And their situation is their father passes away. Now, story-wise, in the Bible, we're just about at the Jordan River. It is time to cross into the land of Israel. Remember, the entire book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last sermon. So that we're already there. We're ready to go in. 40 years done. We're ready to go. And these five daughters aren't going to get a share of the land of Israel because there was no son in their family line. There was no son, so whatever their father's share was going to be, they're not going to get in. And so they go to the court, and they say to Moses and Eliezer, please, please, don't let our father's name die out. We deserve our own spot in the land of Israel also. Please help us. And Moses and Eliezer basically look at each other and says, it's a good point. I don't know what to do. And they ask God, and God says, not only are these women right, but we're going to make this a rule for all time. Now here's what we get almost of the way there. It would have been great if what God said, and we're going to make it a rule for all time so that every child shares equally in the inheritance of their parents. Came this close. We're going to say that every woman can have a share of the inheritance if there are no sons. For the ancient world, a big giant step forward. We got the rest of the way today, but we'll give it to them. And that's what changes everything. And I'm going to tell you why, on so many levels, this story gets it right. First, these five women have an identity. Second, they have a voice. Third, their voice is in the system. Do you know how often the system works against us? We have a system that is supposed to be godly. But we know that any system, when it gets down to individuals, isn't going to work perfectly. Anyone who's ever had to call Time Warner Cable or Verizon Wireless customer service knows that any giant system can't work perfectly. And those, their only job is to give us cell service. Our job is to give you God. It's hard. When you get to a giant system, it rarely works. But here, these five women work within the system. They get to the top, and it works. The law changes in their favor. But more than that, imagine you're Moses and you're Eliezer. How easy would it have been to just say no? They wouldn't have had to ask God. They wouldn't have to change the law. They wouldn't have had to add more complexity to the way things work. They could have just said no. But Moses and Eliezer were open to the possibility of a new and different situation. They really listened to what was going on, to the pain of these five daughters losing their family's inheritance. And they were able to change the system from within. So this Shabbat, I can't wish you a week, a year, a lifetime of perfection, because it doesn't happen. But I can wish you 11 verses. 11 verses where everything that's supposed to work works, where you're heard, where God hears you, and where the world changes to meet the needs of whatever your situation is. This Shabbat, I wish each of you 11 good verses. Shabbat Shalom.